9 days. They made the first novena. For 9 days they prayed and were preparing themselves for the coming of the Holy Ghost. It is a beautiful thing to see the activity of the Holy Ghost in the souls of men. We cannot see grace. We cannot see the Holy Ghost, because he's God. But we can see the activity of the Holy Ghost and grace in the souls of men. And that is a wonderful thing to behold. I'd like to tell you a brief story. It's about a parishioner of ours. He passed away sometime before Holy Week. He loved to pray. He wasn't anybody extraordinary that if you look through the congregation or looked after Mass in the church hall, you couldn't point him out as being somebody special. But this man loved to pray. In fact, our school children, they only knew him by he was the Stations of the Cross man, because he prayed the Stations of the Cross every day. Wasn't a show-off, did it privately, but he was faithful every single day. He also prayed 3 rosaries every day. I didn't know this. And I kind of thought, well, maybe he did this when he retired. He got a little more devout, had a little more extra time in his hands, but no. His adult children told me, no, when they were just little kids growing up, when they got up for school, they look over at the family shrine and Dad was there praying his rosary. And in the morning when he'd go to church, he'd be carrying his rosary in his hands as he walked to church. And the people on that block called him the Rosary Man. In fact, one of the daughters, she was dating this fella down the block, and this boyfriend introduced her to his mother and father. And somehow, some way, the parents meant about this guy that comes down the road praying the Rosary Man. And the girl said, "That's my dad." But the interesting thing is, he had a very serious operation that he was about to undergo. We gave him extreme unction, gave him Holy Communion, apostolic blessing. And the amazing thing is to see the grace of God working in this man's soul. He very well knew that he could die, and yet the composure, the peace, the resignation was just amazing. Here's a man that can die and stand before God. He has a very serious operation, and the odds are really against him. And yet he's just at peace with God, and he's not worried at all. We gave him extreme unction on Friday. His surgery is going to be on Monday, but on Sundays, it's very busy. I have 3 masses, and I have to drive at least 7 hours. I don't go back to Omaha till 1 or 2 in the morning. So on Saturday night, I went over to see him one last time, and I said, "Don, I want to give you something in case you don't make it. Here's a happy death crucifix." And he makes sure you kiss it and tell Jesus, you know, that you love him, you're sorry for your sins, etc. And I says, "And Don, don't lose it, because I only have 2 of these." And he picked it up, made a fist, and he says, "Guard it with my life." Well, comes Monday morning, I got in 1 or 2 in the morning, and then I had school early morning, I had classes to teach. So after my classes, the earliest possible opportunity, I was offering Mass, and after Mass, Father Gregory handed me a note saying, "Go to the hospital, he's not going to make it." And when I got to the waiting room outside of surgery, his wife and his adult children were crying, and they just said this, the doctor came out and said there's nothing more they can do for him. He's too far gone. But she told me in the morning, she said, we went to visit him before the surgery, and he was fast asleep, and he was squeezing that crucifix in his hands. Well, later on, his condition got worse. He passed away Tuesday morning about 5 o'clock, surrounded by his wife and his family, his children. They were praying the rosary. Now, the thing that I had not heard, and that is that his older daughters, I mean, they're all adults, they have children of their own. But they had told their father quite some time ago, "Dad, if you die, let us know you made it to heaven." And when I heard this, I was like, "I don't know about this." I mean, I wouldn't pull something like that. I mean, I don't look for signs and wonders, okay? But the girls were very specific. They said, "Dad, send us a white rose when you make it to heaven." And I was really, "I don't know about this." You know, you make a novena to St. Teresa, and sometimes you find a red rose. But they were specific, a white rose. Okay. Well, when he passed away, the nurses came in and asked the family to leave, that they were going to disconnect everything. And they were going to kind of clean him up a little bit, and they can come back in after we're done. And when they came back into the room, the father was all disconnected. He had a white sheet on him. And one of the nurses had an idea. She put a white rose on his chest. The nurses had no idea, none whatsoever, about what those girls had asked their dad. You can only imagine the shock of the wife and the daughters when they come in to see this white rose is on their father's chest. And the wife, Karen, she picked up the rose, visibly moved, and she went outside and said, "Who put this on my husband's chest?" And the nurses were like, "We're sorry, lady. We hope we didn't offend you," or something like that. And she says, "No, you don't understand what this means to us." Was it a miracle? Was it just mere chance? I don't think so. This man, you can see the graces of God working in him. He wasn't anybody special, very humble fella. He wasn't a show-off, but he loved to pray. And that's the neat thing. In my position, and Father Benedict, Father Chasner, and Father Gabriel, our priests, you see the grace of God working in people. And you see how it fortifies and strengthens them. That is the Holy Ghost. And his grace is in the soul. What a wonderful gift we received at baptism, the life of God in our soul. And together with that life of God, we received the three theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity, and the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost, those supernatural helps to know and to do the will of God. It's also a beautiful thing to see the work of the Holy Ghost in general. Father Casimir accompanied me this past August, under a little year ago, we went to Germany. And I told the priest there, I says, "I don't got time to travel all over Europe. I'm sorry, I'm really constrained for time. If anyone has to be confirmed, bring them to Germany, because I can't go to England, I can't go to France, I'm not going to go to Austria, I'm not going to go to the Czech Republic. You got to bring them all together. Can you do that? Otherwise, I'm going to have to postpone." They said, "No, we want you to come now. We'll get everybody there." It was really interesting having Mass and confirmation, because you have people that never met each other from their different Mass centers around Europe who can't communicate with each other. They don't speak the same languages. But when it comes to our Catholic faith, all these people are on the same page. And that is a beautiful thing to behold. And yet when you look at these families, there are different characteristics of the Germans and the French and the Austrians and the Czech Republic people and the English. They're different. They talk differently. A little bit of different, what you say, national temperament or personality. But the beautiful thing is that they're all on the same page. They all believe the same things. They all worship the same way. And they all practice their Catholic faith the same way. And our Lord and Savior, the church that he founded, he promised to send the Holy Ghost upon the apostles. The Spirit of truth would abide with his church forever. And that is a wonderful thing to behold, the work of the Holy Ghost in his church, to unite men of different nations throughout the world in this one true church for the last 2,000 years. And to realize that these people are spiritual family. may have never met them before, but we belong to the same church. And you know, when you talk to these families and you get someone to translate, they're struggling just like all of you. Families are struggling to raise their children in the Catholic Church and the Catholic faith, despite all the worldliness and all the occasions of sin, etc. It's a beautiful thing to behold, the work of the Holy Ghost in the lives of Catholics throughout the world. I'd like to share one other story. We've had confirmations in Brazil and Argentina. There's young men in Brazil that would like to become priests, so we're sending them down to Argentina to study under the priests there. Brand new group. These are people that are coming right from the Novus Ordo, the Concilia Church. They've known for a long time something's not right. And they have searched and prayed and searched and asked Our Lady's guidance. And they made the right contacts. And because of this, we were invited to go to Brazil. From our trip from Argentina, went to Brazil. And we have a new mass center there, and young men that are interested in the priesthood. But during my travels for confirmation, the confirmation tour in Arizona was what I'd like to speak to you about. I had confirmations, mass and confirmations in Phoenix and in Tucson. 3:30 in the morning, Sunday morning, I'm in Phoenix. Father Ephraim is taking our mass centers in Colorado. And I wake up. I hear something. Somebody's trying to break into the rectory. And he's really bold about it, because he's softly whistling. Sounds like he's done this before. Now, mind you, you know, you wake up from a dead sleep, someone's trying to break into the rectory. So I reach for my cell phone. I'm going to call 911, but if they ask where's your location, I don't know. I don't live here. I don't want to have to go through it. I'm a bishop, and I'm visiting from Omaha, Nebraska, and I don't know where I don't know the address of this church. I don't want to have to go through all that. And I think somehow now, with 911, they can track you, possibly, where your location is. I've heard that, but I wasn't sure. But 3:30 in the morning, I'm not going to try to worry about that. So I'm in a hurry. This guy, he sounds like come right through that door any minute. So I'm going to speed dial the convent. Get the wrong convent. I'm speed dialing the convent in Ohio. 3:30 in the morning. And I realize that it's showing up. Oh, wrong convent. Cancel that. Speed dial the convent in Arizona. I got a whole assistant. I'm glad she had her cell phone on, because I don't even know the number to the church. And I don't even know if it rings over there. There's all these unknowns. So I hear this, hello. I said, sister, there's somebody trying to break in. And sister got awake like that. Into the convent? I said, no, they're trying to break in here. Call the police right away. Now this is happening in very short order. I mean, we're not talking a matter of seconds. But this all reminded me of, I was thinking of this man trying to break in, and it was a great sermon for the people in Phoenix. You know, that man that was trying to break in, we can compare him to the devil. The man that's trying to break in is going to try to rob. Obviously, he wants some money or something of that nature. And he's very bold and very confident. He's whistling, and he's trying to pick that lock. And so is the devil. This man's trying to break in at 3:30 in the morning when, obviously, people are asleep. And the devil does exactly that. He's looking for that opportunity when we are not paying attention, when we're kind of sleeping. But what wakes us up that something's not right? Our conscience. Just like I could hear that noise, and then I thought for a minute, what is that noise? Somebody's trying to break into that lock. Our conscience tells us when we're tempted, that's a temptation, that's a sin. Now, how foolish would it be for me to walk over the door and open the door and say, hey, come on in, take what you want, huh? Help yourself. Of course I wouldn't do that. I keep that door locked. And when it comes to temptation, That's exactly what we need to do. We need to put up that barrier and say, stop right now. You're not getting in. They're not going to let you in. The devil would like nothing more than to get his foot in the door with temptation. We keep and we resist the devil immediately. Shut the temptation out. Get rid of the thought. Get rid of the suggestion. Focus on something else. Secondly, we need to dial spiritually 911. And how do we do that? We call upon God in prayer immediately. Now, unlike the police that might take who knows how long to get there, God will come to our aid immediately. A very powerful prayer in time of temptation. O God, come to my assistance. O Lord, make haste to help me. But we all have to remember this. Unlike the man who was trying to break into the rectory, the devil would like to rob us of sanctifying grace, God's life in our soul. When we're in a state of sanctifying grace, God's life is dwelling in our soul. We are a temple of the Holy Ghost. And how important it is that we recognize our weakness, like Father Benedict was saying for the commencement ceremony. We are very, very weak. We have a fallen human nature. The devil is very clever. He's been at this work for nearly 6,000 years. He knows fallen human nature very well. And the world is so alluring. How important it is that we do not allow the devil access or entrance into our mind and our hearts. We resist and we pray for God's help and guidance. That is the reason why consecration to our Blessed Mother is so important. Because the devil is so clever. The world is so alluring, and our human nature is so weak. We carry this great treasure of sanctifying grace in a very fragile vessel. And like St. Louis de Montfort says, we need to commend this, consecrate this to our Blessed Mother, that she might protect us and watch over us and preserve us from sin and keep us on the right path. Interesting thing, if we think about this, there would be no excuse for someone to, let's say, be out late at night and have a big wad of money in their back pocket and their wallet, or a big bulging purse with money hanging out, and they're walking at late at night down the road. You would think that's crazy. You're inviting the opportunity to get robbed. Well, so also, my dear friends in Christ, we should avoid occasions of sin. Occasions of sin surround us everywhere. And when it is unnecessary, we should not put ourselves in unnecessary occasions of sin. That's inviting temptation. It's inviting the devil, come on in. Go ahead and rob me. I dare you. No, that's a very foolish thing. We should be always on our guard when it comes to protecting this great treasure of sanctifying grace. We should always keep our door closed and locked to the devil. And when the devil tries to break in, we call on God's help immediately. Because without God and his help, we're not going to overcome temptation. We're not going to be able to keep God's commandments. And so on this vigil of Pentecost, those who are going to be confirmed and become soldiers for Christ, remember, when you were baptized, you received the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now you're going to get an increase in those gifts. The gift of wisdom, to be able to appreciate the things of heaven, and to recognize the passing, fleeting things of this world. St. Francis of Assisi, his father, the rich cloth merchant, and St. Francis had true wisdom. He rejected all that, rejected his father's inheritance, and he dedicated his life to the service of God. He had true wisdom. The gift of understanding helps us to comprehend the truths of our faith, and especially in this day and age, when as St. Paul says, there will come a time in which men do not endure sound doctrine, how important it is that we understand our faith well, and most importantly, live that faith. The gift of counsel helps us to know the will of God. In this day and age, we live in such extraordinary times. What does God want me to do in this particular case, in this practical moment? The Holy Ghost will help you to know the will of God. The gift of knowledge helps us in our use of the things of this world to use them for the proper end. We live in the world, but we must not be of the world. Then we have the gift of fortitude to strengthen us. We might know the will of God, that knowing is one thing and doing is the other. And especially when we're under the gun, especially when we're being tempted, especially when we're being tried, the Holy Ghost with the gift of fortitude will support us and strengthen us in our weakness. We have the gift of piety. It helps us in our relationship with God, to look upon God as our loving Father, and that we are His children, sons of God, and heirs of heaven. And then lastly, the gift of fear of the Lord, a holy fear, a fear based on our filial love for God, that we do not want to offend God. As St. Dominic Savio said, death rather than sin. Now those who are going to be confirmed, you're going to become soldiers for Christ. As you become soldiers of Christ, remember to stand up for your faith when necessary, and most importantly, live your faith. Pray your prayers every day. Receive the sacraments frequently. And remember, the Holy Ghost will abide with you and stay with you, and the gifts of the Holy Ghost will assist you throughout your entire life now. Those of you who are graduates, we congratulate you as you commence a new phase in your life. Remember how important it is what you've learned in the seminary. Without God, we are nothing. Jesus says, without me you can do nothing, but with God, we can do all things. St. Paul, I can do all things in Him who strengthens me. Just remember those words. Without God, I'm nothing, but with God, all things are possible. So congratulations to our graduates. Congratulations to those who are going to be receiving the sacrament of confirmation. And for all of you, let us remember on this vigil of Pentecost to call upon the Holy Ghost. Ask the Holy Ghost to help us and assist us in all of our spiritual and temporal needs. It is a wonderful thing to see the grace of God and the working of the Holy Ghost in the souls of men. And you know, my dear friends in Christ, we can also experience that in our own lives. You ever experience this? Maybe you're going through some particular difficulty, you're agitated, you're upset about something, angry, or whatever. You go to Mass, receive our Lord in Holy Communion, and you feel the grace of God rise in your soul and give you the strength to overcome that frustration, that difficulty, that trial. The grace of God supports you in carrying your crosses, the grace of God assisting you in overcoming temptation. What the Holy Ghost did for the apostles, what the Holy Ghost has done for the saints, and especially the martyrs, the Holy Ghost can do for all of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.